Please be seated. What a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. It was only one day, an ordinary spring day in other parts of the world, in India, the Roman Empire, in Africa, North or South America. Just one day. But what a difference a day makes. End an era and begin an era. In the lives of Jesus' followers, it was epic. They were destroyed, they were distraught, they were distrustful and devastated. They had left everything for this man. It wasn't like working tirelessly for 3 years on a presidential campaign and then losing, or even fighting for your commanding officer endlessly in a military campaign. This was different. This was personal. He had saved your life. He was going to save your country. He was supposed to save the world. What a difference a day makes. Now, he was dead. That was Jesus. But what a difference a day makes. There was another man. We looked at him last Sunday. His name was Saul. Living at the same time as the disciples and Jesus. Saul was a religious fanatic. He never actually had met this prophet or teacher. He had watched from a distance. All he knew was that this man threatened the entire religious establishment. Maybe their entire nation. He zealously tried to stamp out this new religious sect, going to great lengths to find, arrest, and imprison these radical Jews. On one such journey, he met the founder of this sect, except he was supposed to be dead. What a difference a day makes. That day, Saul met the risen Jesus, and was radically changed. He even changed his name from Saul to Paul. What a difference a day makes. Saul changed from being the chief opponent to the leading proponent of this Jesus. Fast forward a few years, and Dr. Luke records this man, Paul, who had this encounter, and he has an encounter in the city of Athens. And this is what he writes about Paul. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. The resurrection. What a difference a day makes. The resurrection. One day. And this man, Paul, who before had been part of the mob screaming, "Crucify him," he didn't see Jesus after the resurrection. He didn't believe him. Until later, when he met Jesus on a road, and his day changed, his life changed. What a difference a day makes. Then he wrote in 1 Corinthians, what this means, and I want us to look primarily at this passage today. In 1 Corinthians 15, written by this Paul who had encountered this Jesus, He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, by which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed." This is what you have believed. Paul's encounter with Jesus was unique. And as a result of this encounter he had with the living Jesus, his life was transformed. And this passage declares the meaning of that day and this day, Easter. What a difference a day makes. Have you encountered this man, Jesus, this living Jesus? Verse 1 in this gospel, he talks about the gospel, which means good news. Paul preached that they received it. And this good news on which they've taken their stand, by which they're saved, is several things. We're going to talk about those today. What is this good news they staked their lives on? First of all, Jesus is a God of love. Jesus is a God of love. Verse 3 says, "Christ died for our sins." I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of wrong things in my life. I've been married for 40-some years. I've got two kids. They can probably give you a catalog of things that I've done wrong, okay? They're not going to because they're too nice. But I've done a lot of wrong things in my life. The Bible calls wrong things, calls them sin. I'm no different than you. And the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned. Now, while driving to church today, if you drove 75 miles per hour on Claremont Avenue, an Eau Claire police officer could stop you for speeding because it was a violation of the law. And you'd probably get a penalty or a fine. That's true. I know probably you were driving a little fast just because we're having breakfast, but that's probably didn't happen. In the same way, we sinned, we broke God's law. Someone has to pay the fine. Someone has to pay the penalty. And God is just, so there has to be payment for sins. But because God is a God of love, he sent Jesus to pay for our crimes. He paid for our crimes. We sinned, we broke God's laws, but he sent Jesus. Romans 5:8 said, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, while we were still breaking the law, Christ died for us. While we were guilty, Jesus died for us." Mark 10:45, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man," Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." This is a God of love, and it's critical that we understand that this Jesus, who demonstrated by his death on the cross and this resurrection, was first of all a God of love. Now, we can't earn love. We can't be educated into love. Love cannot be reduced to mathematics, physics, electronics, biology, or any technology. We cannot achieve a level of love. We cannot find love and pleasure of any kind. That kind of love comes from only the one true God demonstrated to us through Jesus. Through Jesus. Who is this man? Jesus, a God of love. Have you met him? Have you had that day? What a difference a day makes. Our God Jesus is also a God of promise. God of promise. It says Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. Have you ever made a promise to someone and broke it? Anybody? Broke it? You said to your spouse, I will never do that again. Okay? Broke a promise. Or you promised your kids, I'll be at your game, or I'll be at your concert, or dance recital, your award ceremony, and you forgot. You promised. Promise has to do with trust, credibility, and faith. If I make a promise, I'm giving my word. And it's very important that my God, your God, be a God of his word. And our God is a God of his word. Literally, hundreds of promises were given to the Hebrew people of a coming Messiah who would save them, deliver them, and heal them. And what a difference that day would make. In Luke 4, Jesus quoted a promise from Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Centuries before, God had promised he would send someone for this very purpose. And Jesus turned and said at the end of that passage, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It's fulfilled in your hearing. God promised, God came through. Jesus promised to bring wholeness to broken people. Anyone here this morning broken? Do you have any broken pieces in your life? Have you met this Jesus? Third, our God Jesus is a God of power. God of power. It says he was buried, he was raised on the third day. He appeared to people once, 500 at a time. This was not a spiritual resurrection. This wasn't a resurrection of ideas. Some people say, well, you know, Jesus lives on. Jesus lives on in spirit. That was part of the claim of some of the people in the early days. He lives on in spirit. Jesus' followers died painful martyr's death for the fact of the physical resurrection. Physical resurrection. Proving that he was alive. Jesus' followers died painful martyr's death for the facts of that literal resurrection. Any old God can live on in spirit. Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius. But God, if a God predicted his own death, and Jesus did, if he claimed to be God, and Jesus did, if he predicted his own resurrection in exactly 3 days, and Jesus did, that is power. That's power. Our God Jesus is a God of unlimited power. Power to raise the dead, power to transform lives, to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, to heal broken lives, power to change lives, to change our world. Have you met this Jesus? What a difference a day makes. Fourthly, our God Jesus is a God of grace and forgiveness. God of grace and forgiveness. In verse 8 through 10, and last of all, he appeared to me also, Paul said, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. Grace. The person writing this was a terrible guy, Paul. He was Saul back then. He experienced his transformation meeting Jesus. And some people just ignore God, live a life of passive indifference. And sometimes they just ignore God. Others actively fight God in active rebellion. Paul was one of those. He wasn't passive in any way. He fought God actively. He persecuted the church. He had followers of Jesus arrested, stood by while they were executed for their faith. Paul did not deserve forgiveness or grace, but he had an encounter with Jesus, Son of God, of forgiveness and grace. And that encounter changed him forever. What a difference a day makes. Paul says, I don't deserve God, I don't deserve forgiveness, but God forgave me. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, you've ever said that. I don't deserve God, I don't deserve forgiveness. If you only knew where I've been, what I've done. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's his grace that produces that transformation. It's undeserved favor. And it's forgiveness. Years ago, missionaries went to an Eskimo tribe to bring the good news of Jesus. They had never heard about Jesus before. And they explained Jesus was a God of love, grace, and forgiveness. And they discovered, interestingly enough, that these people had no word in their vocabulary for forgiveness. They had no word for forgiveness. So they had to make a new word. They had to manufacture a new word for this group of people. And that word was Isimaji Jiao Zheng Niner Mik. Okay? Get that? That was the word. I'm not kidding. That was the word. That was the word. Its literal meaning is this: not being able to think about it anymore. Not being able to think about it anymore. Forgiveness. When God forgives us, he doesn't have the ability to think about it anymore. Now, when we forgive people, somehow we kind of remember. Okay? I forgive you, but not, you know, I'm, you know, we may not throw it in their face and we may not hold it against them, but it's really hard to forget because our forgiveness is not perfect. God's forgiveness is perfect. And so if you go to him and say, remember what I asked for forgiveness for before, he'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. Because his forgiveness is perfect. That's the kind of forgiveness Jesus came to bring us. And there's no sin that we can commit that he will not forgive. That's the difference the day makes. Romans 2:4 says, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? All the gods of other religions make us strive and work and earn and try harder. Then we never know when we've done enough. Our God, Jesus, is a God of love, of promise, of power, and grace, and forgiveness. Have you experienced Jesus' forgiveness? You can. Have you met this Jesus? What a difference a day makes. And finally, Jesus is a God of future hope. In order for there to be a resurrection, there first had to be death. So there's going to be a resurrection, you've got to have death. We don't like to talk about death, but death is a fact of life. A study commissioned by the National Institutes of Health discovered that the mortality rate for American males was, get this, 100%. And the mortality rate for American females was also 100%. Death. Death is reality. But our God is a God of future hope. And we're not talking about some trite hope. There was a preppy-looking man who was arrested in downtown Chicago once selling Fountain of Youth pills. He was selling Fountain of Youth pills. He promised you take these pills, it'll reverse the aging process. When the man appeared in court, the judge was outraged at such a scam, and he asked the prosecuting attorney if the man had a record of prior arrests. The prosecutor consulted her notes and said, yes, Your Honor, he was arrested for the same offense in 1993, 1981, 1965, 1942, 1908, 1873, That's not the kind of future hope we're talking about. It's not a fountain of youth. It's not age reversal process. The future hope we talk about is one of eternal life. We will live forever. Jesus died and was resurrected to conquer death once and for all. The question is, where? Where? Because Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose again, he offers forgiveness, and we have the promise of eternal life. What a difference a day makes. I want to finish today by telling a story I've shared. Several years ago, I attended a conference in Louisville, Kentucky. And on the 40-minute flight from Louisville to Cincinnati, I was to transfer to a plane to Seattle. I sat next to a man named Sanjav. Sanjav was an orthopedic surgeon, an immigrant from India. Most people from other countries are very open to having a conversation about a wide range of topics. And after asking him about his occupation, the background, his family, his journey to the United States, I asked him what religion he practiced. He said he was a Hindu. So I said to Sanjav, I said, you know, I've studied comparative religions, but I prefer to hear directly from people who actually practice their religion. As a Hindu, what is it that you believe and practice? Sanjav was very animated and engaging as he talked about his beliefs. He shared about the three major tenets of his religion. His children were enrolled in a religious parochial school, and I asked him if that presented any challenges or conflicts. He said, no. He said, all religions are pretty much the same. We're a bilingual family. I guess we also practice by religion. He further expanded his belief by talking about the life cycle, his life cycle. He said, hypothetically, let's say we all have a 100-year life, 100-year. I would divide life into four parts. The first quarter of life, the first 25 years, are preparation or training. The second quarter, the second 25 years, are marriage, family, occupation, and accumulation. Then he said the third 25 years are trying to wean oneself from materialism. I said, that's easy. I've got two kids in college. Then he said the final quarter, the final 25 years, is preparation for the beyond. Four 25-year segments, parts of life. So I asked Sanjav, I said, after that, then what? Well, he kind of frowned a little bit, and he said, well, that's controversial. I believe if you've been good and practiced your religion, you can earn the right to come back again. We call it reincarnation. I asked him, what if you're not good enough? Sanjav said, well, I believe there are two tracks, one for good and one for bad. He said, don't you Christians have something like that? And I said, yeah, we do. I said, how do you know where you're going? He said, you can't know. You hope. I said to Sanjav, that is where Christianity differs from all other religions. We believe you can know. I explained the difference between every other religion and Christianity. All other religions can be described with the word do, do. It's about trying to do enough good things to please God. The problem is we can never know when we've done enough. In fact, the Bible says we cannot do enough. We've all fallen short. Christianity, I said, is described by the word done, done. Jesus did what we could never do. He lived the perfect life we could not. He died on the cross to pay for our wrongdoings. Do is trying to appease God, never knowing if we've done enough. Done, Christianity, is that Jesus died to pay the price and we receive the gift that he offers us. Sanjav very perceptively said, so if you receive the gift, it doesn't matter what you do? I said, no. When we receive the gift of Jesus, our nature is changed. We are born again. So it is our nature to do good deeds. We don't earn God's favor by good deeds. God's Holy Spirit changes us. So as a result, we do good deeds. Good deeds are not the cause of our salvation. Good deeds are the result of our salvation. And then I quoted 1 John 5:11-13, which says, And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son, Jesus, has life. He who does not have the Son of God, Jesus, does not have the life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Sanjav said, I guess there's a big difference between all religions and Christianity. I said, yes, we have a guarantee. What a difference a day makes. The resurrection is that day. Believe in Jesus, place your trust in Him. We are separated from God. Jesus came to live, died, and was resurrected so that we can have that eternal life. Guaranteed. And all that is possible because of Jesus' resurrection. What a difference a day makes. Let's pray.